The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month is a 4-CD set of all the hymns, ballads, and chants composed and authored by Martin Luther. It's titled Martin Luther, Hymns, Ballads, Chants, Truth. Find out more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Listen to A Mighty Fortress, From Heaven Above, Dear Christians One and All Rejoice, and 36 other recordings in Martin Luther, Hymns, Ballads, Chants, Truth. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. The month of October is quickly fading away, but the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for October is actually 4-CD set. It can stay with you for a lifetime. It is that enduring. It's a 4-CD set called Martin Luther, Hymns, Ballads, Chants, Truth, and it is some of the very best of the hymns, the ballads, the chants from the pen of the 16th century reformer Martin Luther. It comes from Concordia Publishing House. They're very proud of this. Martin Luther, Hymns, Ballads, Chants, Truth, and it can be yours. Just give them a call, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for Martin Luther, Hymns, Ballads, Chants, Truth, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for October, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. We were just talking with Pastor Peters a few minutes ago, and I have to just completely agree with him that every pastor faces this great temptation of ego, conceit. It doesn't matter whether you're a pastor of a 8,000-member church or the pastor of a 80-member church, the same temptation is there. But is there a greater temptation for the pastor and for his people, ultimately, than even our own pride, our own conceit? Joining us to talk about pastors and pessimism, Pastor Anthony Voltatorner. He's pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Standish, Michigan. He's author of a recent article titled The Greatest Temptation for the Pastor. Anthony, welcome back.
Glad to be with you, Todd.
You say it isn't so much conceit in the pastor's case as it is pessimism. Why?
Well, because we're sinners. Now, you can even look at it this way. We have this thing called Pastor Appreciation Month for October, but the very fact that we have that is only a symptom of pastors who feel underappreciated and just sort of the general misunderstanding of the office. So pastors put in all of this time, right, to prepare Bible studies and sermons, and they teach and they preach. And when they don't feel like people are either listening, or for any pastor who thinks that people aren't listening to him when he teaches or preaches, or that he's not appreciated for what he does, that people are just sort of blowing him off as irrelevant, the temptation is then to become pessimistic about things, to think negatively of the people of God, and sort of this they'll never change talk, or worse yet, to think negatively about the ability of the ministry to do its job. So, it is very prevalent and is very dangerous. I mean, instead, the people of the congregation, yes, they are sinners indeed. And these sinners are given into the care of this pastor, and it is his duty to bear this blessed yoke of reproving and absolving them. So we should not think that the office of the ministry isn't a responsibility or a yoke that the pastor bears. It's not all fun and games all the time, and any pastor who is worth his salt knows this, right? He has battle scars. He has suffered from the times when the responsibility has been given to him to stand squarely upon the Word of God and not compromise on the Lutheran confessions, no matter what assaults come his way. So we should not think that the pastor is going to be free from either struggle or scar. But that doesn't mean that the pastor is to be pessimistic. I mean that's why I think that this is just the greatest temptation, is to become pessimistic, because there are so many struggles that we do face and scars that we bear as pastors. But that isn't a reason to become pessimistic. That is the temptation. But still, we should not.
Are you saying then that whether it be the pastor or the people, the root of this pessimism is a failure to trust in God's word to do what God promises it will do?
Yeah, absolutely. It is misunderstanding. It is slipping into doubt that the word of the Lord, as Isaiah and Peter proclaim, will remain forever. It is when Scripture says that God's word is going to remain forever. That is the thing upon which the church stands. That's not wishful thinking, that statement. I mean, the Church of Christ will no sooner cease to exist than will Christ himself. But when we fall into this pessimistic way of thinking, I mean, first of all, it's not the pastor's place to be pessimistic. It is not given to him to judge whether or not the living and active two-edged sword is doing its work. when we pastors become pessimistic, we are slipping into doubt and to unbelief, and even for laity too. It's easy to slip into this temptation, the funny thing is that when a pastor does become pessimistic, it's often because he feels that the people that his flock isn't clinging to God's word and sacraments like they should. I mean, that's what is usually complained about. But when the pastor becomes pessimistic, that is also the very thing to which we pastors must cling, to his word and sacrament. So, yeah, to answer your question, it is when we slip into this disbelief about what's going on here in the ministry that we become pessimistic.
Are you saying that the pastor ought to be Pollyannish, that, you know, just look on the sunny side of things and disregard any of the problems he may perceive among the people?
No, I'm not. That's not to say that either. But he doesn't have to be sort of this Joel Osteen type where he's smiling brightly, you know, white teeth all the time. But to simply be real about things, at the end of the day, no matter what problems he is facing, and whatever weight bears on his shoulders from the job that he stands, he is still standing in the place of Christ, delivering the gifts of the cross. I mean, that is the proper function of the office, to deliver the forgiveness of sins and to proclaim Christ as the Savior of sinners. And so for that reason alone, we are simply not to fall into pessimism and instead really turn to the cross.
What damage does, in the case of the pastor, does he do to his people when he adopts this kind of pessimism?
Well, I guess I'd say that he is contradicting the message that he's proclaiming, that he's showing forth to his people doubt in the own message that he brings. I'm not saying that it's easy. It's not. That's why I called it a yoke. But at the same time, it is a blessed yoke. It is the means by which the people are freely justified for Christ's sake, and for that reason, we deliver the message is tainted when we add into it our own doubt and our own disbelief that is really the sin of pessimism. Instead, when we really look at this ministry of the gospel, well, the doctrine of the office of the ministry is inseparably connected with the doctrine of justification, and that is what we don't want to pervert. That is, justifying faith is imputed through the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments. We can see this even when we look at our confessions and the order of the articles of the Augsburg Confession. So Article 5 on the ministry directly follows Article 4 on justification. And so it starts by saying, so that we may obtain this faith, the ministry of teaching the gospel and administering the sacraments was instituted through the word and sacraments as through instruments the Holy Spirit is given. Well, we confess that to be true, that as Luther also says in the small called articles, God does not want to deal with us in any other way than through the spoken word and the sacraments. We confess that to be true in the first century, in the 16th century, and today, that through these simple means of grace, the preaching of the gospel, baptism, the Lord's Supper, through these, the reign of Christ is truly present among us and for us with all of the redeeming power of Christ. And if that's there, if the pastor is doing that, well, then all pessimism just falls away. Really, what we're doing is we're answering the question, where do we find Christ? And it's not inside of us. It's not in how well we feel our congregation is doing, which is really what we're doing when we're becoming pessimistic. But it's where do we find Christ? It's in the external word and sacraments.
Pastor Anthony Voltatorni is our guest. Will be with us for another 10 minutes on the other side of this break. We're talking about pastors, their people, and the sin and temptation to pessimism. It's Wednesday afternoon, October the 17th. Pastor Voltatorni is pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Standish, Michigan, and author of a recent article titled The Greatest Temptation for the Pastor. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-I-E. After about another 10 minutes with Pastor Voltatorni, we'll have our pastor's roundtable, and we'll talk about the parable of the wedding feast in Matthew's Gospel. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Pastor Anthony Voltatorni is our guest. We're talking about pastors and the temptation to pessimism. You have a quote from Hermann Zassa, one of my favorite Lutheran writers and theologians, and he says this, I'd like you to explain it. The humble preaching of the gospel and the administration of these simple sacraments are the greatest thing that can happen in the world, what's Zassi say?
Well, this is, you know, he's just building off of really Article 5 of the Augsburg Confession, that that this is the means by which we receive this faith. You know, this is where the gifts of the cross are actually delivered to us in the preaching of the gospel, the administration of these simple, you know, humble sacraments, just bread and wine and the water of baptism. And here we have the greatest thing that can happen to us in the world. Here we are redeemed, and we're given the assurance, the external and objective forgiveness of sins there every week. So to really become pessimistic about the office is directly contrary to what the office is doing. The purpose for having this this authority that Christ gives to his church is the forgiveness of sins. So the life of the church, and in that respect, whether or not someone is optimistic or pessimistic about the life of the church, it stands upon nothing other than the office of the pastor, not as an individual. The man who stands there is just a wretched, sinful man. But it stands upon the one whose authority he bears. It stands upon Christ. He's the one who said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. It's not the pastor's authority. It's Christ's. And so we have to ask the question, are we being pessimistic about the authority that is given to us to forgive sins? This is not what the one who stands in the place of Christ should be thinking or saying about his people or about the ministry. So, it's really one of those dangers.
Okay, so this dovetails nicely with some advice that I got long, long ago from, I believe it was probably a retired seminary professor who said, you know, regardless of where you're serving as pastor, on Sunday morning, you ought to, while you're standing there in the sacristy waiting for the service to begin, take a look in that mirror while you're checking your vestments and your robes and remind yourself that what you are about to do there in preaching, in administering the Lord's Supper and absolving the sins of your people is, there's nothing more important for you to be doing. There's nothing more important for them to be doing. And you and pastors all over the world, you are doing the most important thing in the entire history of the world right there. Would that change a pastor's attitude when he walks out of the sacristy and sees the church half full?
No, it shouldn't. It shouldn't. If you, I tell my elders here, if one person shows up to church, we're still having church. We're not canceling. It doesn't matter if there's one person or there's 100 or there's 500. It is the same amount of forgiveness of sins that is being delivered there. And you're absolutely right. It is the most important thing that's happening, and none of it depends on the pastor, because what is being given is the objective promise of Christ to his redeemed children, and that doesn't hang on our own feelings or our own works, and it doesn't hang on our own ability, the ability of the pastor to be the guy who attracts a big crowd. It doesn't hang on how the pastor feels about how the congregation is doing. It depends solely on Christ, on his death and resurrection for sinners, such that the one who instituted the office of the ministry is also the one who is present in the means of grace given from that very ministry. He's the one doing the absolving and the baptizing and the suppering, not just for the people, but for the pastor as well. So really, where is the pessimism? That too is nailed to the cross.
What do you say? And maybe you need to speak some words of admonition here. What do you say to a pastor? And all of us have been this pastor one time or another, if we served at all, who say, "Look, here I am stuck in this backwater congregation. I feel like I'm cut out for better things, bigger things. I got to get out of here where the people are really going to appreciate my talents." What do you say to such a man?
Just, you know, you kind of have to keep your feet firmly grounded there in the Word and in the sacraments, and just remember that you are doing the most important work. Just as God is only revealed in the incarnate Son, so also the Spirit of God delivers Christ only in His chosen means of grace. And the pastor is the one who is doing that, who is delivering those means of grace. That's what he's given to do. And so any pastor who is worried or distraught over his place in life, his calling, must remember that he is there not because he's a nice guy or has, you know, a lot of skills or in being a good orator. It's not because he's warm and charming or works really hard, but because he is given to bring the gospel to the children of God. He is the one delivering the word and delivering the sacraments of Christ. He's serving as the very hand and the mouth of Jesus for the sake of the redeemed, and there is nothing more important.
What do you say to the a parishioner who walks into church on Sunday morning and says, you know, the same little backwater congregation, and says, you know, this is not the most important place to be. You know, we're just a little congregation. We don't matter much. What do you say?
Well, our old Adam kind of wants to treat these simple means of grace as unimportant. And we don't really want to believe that the forgiveness of sins is given freely for Christ's sake, let alone that they're given from this pastor who we might see his faults and we might see his own failures, his scars might show. He might not be the best speaker, but he's the one delivering Christ. He's the one who is providing forgiveness, life, and salvation to God's people. And so even though our old Adam struggles against this and wants to think of it as something that is lowly, nonetheless, every week there you have the presence of Christ himself, all of his authority, all of his reign, and it's there to absolve you, to wash you clean of all of your sins, and to raise you to new life in Christ. And so, you know, every week this is delivered, and now there is no room for pessimism, for thinking that these means of grace are unimportant, and rather it is where you encounter God, where you encounter Christ and all of the gifts that He has to give you in His Word and in His baptism and in His supper. And so this is really to be cherished and to be loved more than anything else.
Finally, with only about a minute here, Pastor Voltatorne, maybe a couple minutes, how do you respond to someone who says that, well, you're just being idealistic?
Yeah, that's there. It's you know, it's not. I don't want to pretend or imply that there aren't any problems. We have problems. The Lutheran Church has problems, and I think too it can be all traced back to a misunderstanding of the office of the ministry, a misunderstanding of what is going on in church on Sunday morning, and what the pastor is there to do. But in those cases, those who think that it's idealistic really again are misunderstanding the whole point. And really, we go back to Scripture. We see that that the gifts of the cross are wonderful. They're great, but unless they're delivered to us, they're of no use. Christ could die 1,000 times over on the cross, and it would be of no good for us unless those gifts are delivered, unless Christ institutes his supper, unless his authority is given to baptize and to teach. And it is in this word and in this sacrament ministry that he is present with his people unto the end of the age. And so that's what we gather around. That's what we cling to above all else. And really, if you're not getting that on Sunday morning, then if your pastor is not delivering to you the pure gospel, then it doesn't matter how nice he is. And that's often what we try to run after, is really really nice pastors. It doesn't matter how nice he is if he's not giving you the pure gospel. That individual we must run from. Instead, we flock to the place where the pastor is acting in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, where his mouth is filling our ears with the words of absolution, the gospel that Christ has come to die for sinners, and that from his hand to our tongue we are receiving Christ's own body and Christ's own blood for the forgiveness of our sins.
Pastor Anthony Voltatorni is pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Standish, Michigan, author of a recent article titled The Greatest Temptation for the Pastor. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Anthony, thank you again.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
When we come back, it's Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. We'll spend it with our pastor's roundtable looking at the parable of the wedding feast in Matthew chapter 22. Thanks to Pastor Larry Myers and Elm Grove Lutheran Church in Elm Grove, Wisconsin. They informed us yesterday that they are renewing their membership in the Issues, Etc. 300. We need all the congregations that have been part of the Issues, Etc. 300 to think about doing that, especially as budget time nears, and for congregations to join the Issues, Etc. 300. It's our congregational support program, $1,000 or more in your church's annual budget. For Issues, Etc. makes your congregation part of the Issues, Etc. 300. Find out more at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. There's a one-page flyer there on the support page that'll explain everything about the Issues, Etc. 300. When we come back, Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. this Wednesday afternoon, our Pastor's Roundtable, The Parable of the Wedding Feast.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues, Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Here's an opportunity for you to get up to 75% off many of the resources you hear us promote on Issues, Etc. It's Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale from 8 in the morning till noon on Saturday, November 3rd. Concordia Publishing House is located south of Interstate 44 at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. The 2012 warehouse sale, Saturday morning, November the 3rd at Concordia Publishing House, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis.